Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. And while you're at pleasuremechanics.com, please check out our complete suite of online courses and video guides that are all designed to help you become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve. In this episode, we are going to be talking about an experience that happens to a lot of women and some men, but that they're a little bit afraid to talk about or share with their partners, and that holds them back. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading the question submitted by a listener.
So this is a question from Lucy. She says, "Hey, Charlotte and Chris, I love your podcast and never miss an episode." That's awesome. Thanks. "I'm hoping you can help me out. I'm in a new relationship of about 6 months and things are going really well. He is kind and interesting and great in bed. But the past few times we've been having sex, I suddenly feel like I have to cry and end up shutting down and getting it over with so I don't cry in the middle of it. In one of your recent episodes, you mentioned what you called crygasms, and I've been wondering if that is what's going on for me. What do you think I should do?" Lucy. This is a great question, Lucy, and I think one that actually a lot of people have, because it's kind of an unusual experience that can happen quite regularly for a lot of people. So I'm glad we get to talk about it.
Right. It's one of those sexual experiences that's actually pretty frequent, but is not brought up in our cultural dialogue about sex. And so the people who experience it think they're the only ones, when really a lot of people experience it. So it's both common and unheard of in a lot of ways.
Which is always the most confusing stuff in sex, in a way.
Right. It's, you know, female ejaculation used to be common but not spoken about, and everyone thought that they were the only freak that did this, and now they realize that it's actually a very normal, natural experience. And in our minds, crying during sex is also very normal and natural and is nothing to be worried about. So let's dive into it a little bit. Why does this happen, and what should you and your partner do about it?
We're calling them crygasms, but it can be something that happens during the build-up to orgasm, or it can happen for a lot of people during orgasm itself.
Or after orgasm, in that coming down afterglow phase. Some people well up with tears then.
So it's really just to have a word that explains the experience of crying during some sort of sexual encounter.
And let's be clear, we're not talking about crying because something is painful, or crying because you're having sex you don't want to be having, or crying because you're not interested in your partner in that moment. It's not crying out of sadness or frustration. It's crying as an emotional release, as a catharsis, as a
unintended, it's really an unintended emotional release, I would say.
Right. So it's not in direct response to something that's upsetting you. It's something that wells up from within and then is expressed as part of your sexual expression. And what's interesting about crying during sex for me is that it can actually be an emotional release of a lot of different emotions. Sometimes it's just a stress relief and you're so pent up and tense. And then as your body builds arousal, crying is one of the ways you let all of that tension out. It can also be an expression of grief or pain, something you've been holding inside you that then finally is getting expressed. So say if you've had a death in the family or a major loss in your life and never really got the chance to process it, months or even years later, when you are finally in that state of releasing and relaxing during arousal, sometimes that emotion comes up really strongly and you find yourself crying and grieving finally for something that you lost. But it can also be an expression of joy or love or gratitude. Sometimes I've had this where I just cry because it felt so good and I felt so safe and I felt so loved and cared for that I just needed to cry to express that. There was no other way of really expressing the poignancy of my emotions in that moment. And so I think crygasms can be a really good experience for expressing any range of human emotions. But what is tricky is how your partner responds to it and what happens as it comes up. And so that's a lot what we want to talk about today, is kind of what to do when your partner wells up in tears during sex.
I also just want to add that the experience of having these emotions get released really only happens in the context of a safe relationship. The body only, I think, can have that kind of release when it feels really safe and loved. So it's really a sign that something's going really right in the relationship if you can release at this level.
Right. I think just like after a major loss or something you're mourning, you might feel very buttoned up and hold yourself together during the funeral. And then only in the safety of your closest friend or with your sister or even alone will those emotions come out. As human animals, we only really process profound, deep emotions when we feel safe enough to do so. So I think that's a really important point that Charlotte made, that if your partner starts welling up with tears during sex in this way, not the other kind of tears, but if they're experiencing this kind of cathartic release, then it's a sign that something's going really right. There's nothing wrong.
And often people can't identify what they're feeling. They just are feeling something, and that's okay.
Or it's a mix of things. You're grieving your mother and also feeling loved and gratitude at the same time. We are big enough to hold more than one emotion at a time.
But sometimes it's really nothing to do with grief.
Right. I'm just naming one mix of emotions.
Right.
Yes. It can be any swirl of the human emotional spectrum that's within you and that is feeling like it needs to come up and be expressed. And we should say, you know, this is probably a little bit more common for women, but I think it actually does happen to men too, and would happen more frequently if men allowed it and if men felt safer crying in our culture. There are other cultures where men feel very safe crying and will express their emotions through tears, both joy and grief, love and sorrow, in a much more public setting. But unfortunately, in a lot of cultures, men are taught that, you know, boys don't cry and to keep it together. So no matter what your gender expression, this is part of your human physiology, is to express emotion through tears. And when you're in the throes of lovemaking and feeling intimate and safe, and that arousal, the turn on of your system, it gets things moving. And sometimes that can trigger the crying reflex.
And some would probably talk about this as part of the healing power of sexuality and sex.
Some would we?
I feel very conflicted around the term healing and sexual healing. There's a lot of other stuff around those terms, so that's why I'm kind of being tentative with it. But I think that it's clear that sexual energy is moving things within the body and within the emotional realm, and cleansing is happening. And that's a good thing.
Right. And most people who experience this and let themselves experience it, and whose partners respond in the ways we're about to talk about, after the crygasm feel amazing. And so if we're talking about healing as something that makes you feel better than when you started, then crygasms surely are a sexual healing force.
They also show up most often, I think, for women when the G-spot is being activated. It's something that seems to be quite common for women, especially when they're first exploring their G-spot and really bringing concentrated attention to that part of the body.
Right. If there's a discernible pattern amongst crygasms, the G-spot stimulation and awakening the G-spot is one of them.
I know that was my experience when I first started exploring my G-spot area. I don't know how many times I ended up crying, but there was sort of this stage where during lovemaking with my partner at the time, I really just cried like very regularly. I had moved through whatever I wanted to move through, and that pattern sort of stopped. But I think it's something to just know that. I also really believe that there are emotions stored in parts of the body, and so there's like physical release that's happening in this part of the body being activated.
And for other people, the anal stimulation can also trigger it, especially for people who have had anal trauma and then are being touched in a really loving way in this area. You can also feel a lot of deep emotions and trauma release coming through loving stimulation. So it can happen at unexpected moments. And as we said before, it often happens when you're feeling the most safe and the most loved and secure enough to allow yourself to have this experience. So what should both people do when one person feels this welling up of emotions start to happen?
If it's a completely new experience for both of you, you want to make sure, first of all, that of course it's not the kind of upset crying that we were talking about at the beginning of the episode.
Right, which I think should be pretty obvious from how the sex is going. You know, if you're penetrating anally for the first time and someone bursts into tears, maybe then you want to check in. Is this painful? Are you okay? Do you want me to keep going? Do you want me to stop? But if you're in just the midst of, you know, sweet lovemaking and the sex is just flowing, and as the arousal is building, then one person starts getting teary-eyed, then you can keep going and maybe slow down a little bit to check in. And depending on how well you know your partner, more or less check-in might be useful. But I think what you don't want to do is say, what's wrong? And have the person in the middle of this emotional experience try to explain themselves. Instead, ask an open-ended question or a yes-no question. Do you want me to stop? Do you want me to keep going? Is this okay? You know, and give them an opportunity just to nod and be willing to stay present with them as they move through this experience. Because if you think of it as a type of orgasm, you know, during orgasm, you can make all sorts of crazy faces. And the worst thing to happen in that moment is if your partner interrupted the experience and said, are you okay? What's wrong? Your face looks like you're in pain. Because we're familiar with orgasm faces and how animalistic and expressive that can be. But when the tears come in, often partners can panic and feel like they're doing something wrong or they're hurting you, which is the last thing they want to be doing. And so to take a moment and pause and check in is okay. Just try not to have your partner have to explain themselves
in that moment.
In that moment, or even directly after. Allow the experience to have its beginning, middle, and end. Allow the afterglow to happen. Just hold one another. Be very present and loving. And then even the next day, you might want to say something like, that seemed really intense. Is there anything you want to talk about? And again, that's an open-ended question. It's not demanding an explanation, because sometimes it's hard to put words to these experiences, and we just want to let them be and let them integrate into our bodies and not have to explain them. Because it's sometimes really hard to match words to the experience, but having an open-ended question where you're offering to listen and you're offering to communicate is a compassionate move on the part of the lover.
And whether or not you talk about it right after is really dependent on the relationship. Like, you just have to feel that out. It might be appropriate to talk about it right after, or just say, you know, I'm here for you if there's anything you want to talk about.
I think a good guideline is to pay attention to the breathing and wait at least, at the very minimum, wait at least until their breathing pattern is back to normal. Because that means the emotional experience has come full circle and you don't want to interrupt them midstream. And that might last way, you know, half an hour after the lovemaking has ended. But this idea of keep going and continue to fuck someone as they're crying, I think is really challenging for some people, whether it's with your hands, a toy, your penis, whatever style of lovemaking you're doing, the idea of just keep going can be really challenging for some people to accept.
And this is why it's so important to know for sure that it's not upset crying, and that if it is in the context of a safe, loving relationship, that you're doing them a favor in a way to keep going, because you're allowing them to have that full arc of the experience, as Chris was talking about, to really, like, something unusual and deep is coming up. And so to be able to keep riding that, if you will, is valuable.
And it's a sign of confidence and maturity and presence to be able to stay present. And we talk about presence. A quick definition for presence is paying attention to what's happening as it's happening. And so if you're there and making love with your partner, for this to happen, probably you're being very present to begin with, because that creates the conditions for the crygasm to start. But you want to stay present, and you don't want your mind to wander to what's going on, what happened, what are we having for dinner? Like, don't let your mind wander. Keep your attention exquisitely focused on your lover's experience and on making love in the ways that you were before it happened, to keep the experience going and let them have that profound emotional experience. And all of this, by the way, is also applicable to laughter.
Yeah, so true.
Laughter is another form of expressive release of emotional catharsis. And sometimes you just want to howl with laughter and everything feels so silly, but you just want to keep the fucking going and ride it out. And so I think these guidelines are actually applicable to a lot of situations, not just to crying during sex. And I think they point to this place where in a healthy, good relationship, sex can be tremendously useful as an emotional release, as a valve to take away stress, to express what we need to express, to turn on our creativity. Sex functions at so many different levels. It's not just about friction and stimulating the body. When two people really show up and make love together, there are so many layers to it. And this emotional and spiritual layer is one of the most profound parts of sex, I think, and one of the most worthwhile reasons to have sex. And so honor it and give it its full merit by paying attention during it and bringing your full self to the experience and allowing it to happen, and let it have its way with you, because it may create healing, as we said, in some really unexpected ways. And notice how you feel afterwards. Do you feel lighter? Do you feel clean inside? Do you feel like you have new creative ideas or insights? When an experience like this happens in the bedroom, usually something shifts and moves within you, and you walk away a different person than when you started, and that's a real gift.
Yeah, it seems like it's often a real cleansing of some sort. And I think that a parallel for men and men's bodies, though, often is in the prostate. For men who are new to experiencing prostate pleasure and play, there can be intense emotional release, whether or not it manifests as crying or laughing. People can sometimes feel more than they were expecting to feel, and just know that that is part of the normal range of what can happen when we're stimulating the body intimately.
So to bring it back full circle to your question, you talked about how when this starts, you end up shutting down and getting sex over as quickly as possible. And so for you, one of the things I would recommend is just acknowledging this with your boyfriend and saying, maybe you've noticed, but sometimes when we make love, I feel like tears are welling up, and I just want you to know that there's nothing wrong when this is happening, and I feel safe enough with you to try to let it happen. So if this happens sometime in the future, my requests are you just continue doing what you're doing and don't be afraid of my tears. I want to experience it and know what that feels like. And that then just puts it on the table as a possibility. Again, it's a little bit like ejaculating. If you know you're a squirter, you might want to say ahead of time, you know, sometimes during arousal, I squirt. Let's put down a few towels. So with crying, you can get your tissues next to the bed and prepare your lover that this is a possibility. And then you don't need to be as afraid of it happening. And when you feel safe enough in your relationship, in that moment of time, let it happen. Ask him to keep going and just ride out the experience and see what it does for you. And then check in the next day and see how it was for him. You can make requests if there's anything you would have wanted him to do differently or any other ways he could have supported you in having an experience. And maybe see if your relationship feels even more intimate and that you've gone deeper together, and that could be a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think it's just so important not to be afraid of ourselves and to let ourselves have these experiences, because this is one of the beautiful things about being human and about making love with one another, is all sorts of things come up, and not stopping us from having our human experiences is really important. So try not to judge yourself. Know that it's within the range of normal, and let yourself explore and communicate fully with your partner, and thank them for being a safe space where you can feel these things and share them and see what happens.
And let us know.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners have any comments or questions about crygasms or other forms of emotional release during sex, we would love to hear them. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, hit the Ask Us Anything button, and you can be in touch with us. Easy as that. We're always a few clicks away. We are here for you to guide you in creating the sex life of your dreams. That's what we're devoted to. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and join the party.
So as you may have noticed, we don't have any sponsors for this.
Or annoying ads interrupting.
Right, our podcast. We like to just talk with you in a straightforward way, answering your questions.
That's right. We keep it intimate. It's just you and us having intimate conversations, being real with one another. And we have been offered sponsorships and turned them down, because this is all about the Pleasure Mechanics community worldwide. And so if you like what we're doing and want to support us, please come over to pleasuremechanics.com and check out our online courses and video guides that offer you proven strategies so you can have an amazing sex life, and support us and create the amazing sex life you deserve by joining up, buying a course, and discovering what the Pleasure Mechanics techniques can do for you.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.